Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole-body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The
Corey.
Fan.
I'm still broken.
We were trying to figure out life as we go here. How do you enjoy the free agency period? The Cowboys move so far. Where are we with Rashawn Gary? Guys, Rashawn Gary is going to be a guy for you.
Aw.
I don't know exactly how, like, we're going to look at it and go, okay, we got all the money exactly where we want. But whenever he steps onto the football field, Christian Parker's got to figure a way out to get the best out of him. Now, Christian Parker has some people in place that are legitimate good coaches that I think can handle this and work well with him. But when it comes to the player and what we saw in like the last six games last year, last 11 games, it wasn't the quality that people wanted from in Green Bay for sure. Now, how much was that affected by other outside things and the fact that the dude had his replacement already drafted for him and playing time changed for him? Who knows? But Christian Parker was there in 2019, 2020, in the first couple years for Rashawn Gary. He has an idea of what he wants in that guy. Because this is interesting, because did anybody ever hear this name floated out there beforehand?
Not really.
No, nobody really did. Because we weren't obviously looking for these trade-type situations either, these scenarios. We were looking for more like, all right, free agency. We heard about the Vikings edge guy. And so the Cowboys are where they are right now in that. It's not official because, Kevin, it can't be official because legal tampering doesn't start until
stupid name for this time.
1 hour from now. Now, here's what I have.
Even then, I don't think it can be official until Wednesday.
Yeah. What do you think every conversation is like leading up to today? Because this morning, we wake up and Twitter is full, Alec, with headlines that say, this player, this many years, this deal. We see all this stuff going on. Do you think that GMs are walking up to HR and they're like, you know, or their Frank Provenzano guy, and they're just like, here are the numbers, print out the stuff, fax it over to them right now. And they're like, we don't have a fax machine anymore, sir. And they're like, get these over, get them printed. I want it done right now. Or you think it's like, hey, we're looking to spend some money. Like what at the combine? Hey, look, we're looking to spend some money. You're talking to agents and you start really getting the structure of these things already built.
See, I would have assumed that most of it would have looked like what the Cowboys did with Terrence Steele. Like race to get as much money as possible. And they're like, all right, look, Terrence Steele, we're not going to cut you, which is what I feel like for a while I thought that was what was going to happen, but we're going to give you a pay cut. But you're going to be pumped about the pay cut because we're going to give you guaranteed money. Oh. And so I feel like they've spent most of this time just trying to chop salary off the book so they can make these moves. And then I wonder if a couple of GMs got caught flat-footed because they're like, oh, crap, that's right, I forgot how many deals get done before 11 o'clock.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's where the Cowboys have – they've answered the call on what we asked for them at the end of the season. And that was, you better get your defensive coordinator quickly. And they said, okay, we'll make sure we do a thorough search and we'll make sure we get the person quickly. And that didn't take very long. Then once they thought, hey, Christian Parker's the guy, they made it happen. And then you'd have to start now. Obviously, the Pickens deal not being done, I'm guessing they're just going, well, we'll figure this money into the conversation. We know where it is. But Kevin, they have to have that money available to them before they can go sign players, right?
Yeah.
So they're probably saying to themselves, we'll spend this amount of money while we have this amount of money available with George Pickens. We'll spend it on him.
I like this idea. Does that make this the illegal tampering period? Because it's been very busy.
Yeah. No, in
903.
And that's where, like, this week between the combine and now, just shorten the week. I know what the NFL does. The NFL's like, let's just use as many of these days as we can. Every single day is an opportunity for a headline. And the NFL understands that. And so that's why they're just like, let's just use the days. Just keep them cranking and we'll be fine.
Can I read one of these texts already?
Yeah.
Man, people are already super fired up. From the 401, as usual, the Cowboys haven't done S in free agency. Just a reminder, free agency doesn't actually start for another 54 minutes. I'm not saying that you're wrong and they won't do S, but it hasn't even started yet, so I feel like that's probably
unfair. Yeah, I think whenever that actually kicks off, you'll start to see the Cowboys have been preparing. I think they really have been preparing for these things and having the right conversations, because Jerry Jones told us at the end of the year, he doesn't do that typically. He admitted that they misviewed what the defense was.
Whoops.
Yeah, he said, that's exactly what he said. Hey, you got to have a good offense? Bam. And he was like, you got to have another receiver? But he pointed out all the good things, and then he goes, then you got to get a defense that can keep people from getting past the 50. Whoops. And then he also pointed out, don't forget, he pointed out special teams and their inability to get a good field position. So there were some things that he said, we have to fix and correct those right now. And within the next hour, you will start the – this will be the illegal tampering period for the next hour. And after that, legal tampering is what we'll call it from there on. So,
because for some reason, they have still decided not to start the league year until Wednesday. And so all of these deals are like theoretical until, I mean, I'm sure you have an agreement in place, but it's stupid.
So 365 days from now will be the new league year? Is that how it works?
It starts in 2 days and will be
from now.
Okay. Exactly.
So those are the moves so far. Like, that's really it so far, unless you want to add in some other ones that you're... Now we're starting to hear some other things starting to percolate regarding the future, but at this moment, the Rashawn Gary deal... I give it a good one, unless now we're talking Terrence Steele and some of these other things that aren't really additions. They're just opening some space up so that you can make these additions.
All right, so let's talk about that. And so here's a way to look at it. So Terrence Steele, depending on who you believe this morning, has opened up about $9.5 to $13 million of cap space. My theory is, I'm guessing it's $9.5 for this year and $13 over the life of the new guarantees of that contract. And then you also restructured Malik Hooker, who's another person, you know, we talked about this in Overreaction Reality, I don't know, like a month ago, the possibility of cutting Hooker, the possibility of cutting Terrence Steele. Instead, you're going to keep both of them. So let's just say you save $9.5 million and then you save $2 million from Malik Hooker. You could have the Rashawn Gary contract, assuming they restructure that as well, come in at about $8 million, which means so far this morning, the Cowboys have traded a fourth round pick in 2027 for Rashawn Gary and $3.5 million in salary cap space.
Okay.
And so, like, that when you say like there, oh, that's pretty good. And so, like, all of these kind of work in cooperation. But I've been surprised for a while that the Cowboys are going to keep Terrence Steele, but they love his run blocking. So there you go.
I wanted to ask about Steele and Hooker. If you would have cut them outright, how much more could you have saved on the cap than doing this? Now, obviously, you're going to give me a number that spreads out.
Right.
But then you got to take that number and say, okay, how much is the next better free agent going to cost you?
See, if I remember correctly, I think if you'd have moved on from Terrence Steele, you could have saved like $12 million.
Okay.
But then you still, in 2027, would have eaten like $6.5 or $7 million. And that's what people do all the time. Like, that's what the Dolphins are doing with the Tua cut, right? They're cutting Tua $99 million in dead money, but they're post-June 1sting it. The whole reason you post-June 1st it is so you can split the dead money in half. And so what people really like to do, Corey, that sometimes drives me a little crazy, is like, oh, you cut Terrence Steele, you save $12 million. Kind of, but then in 2027, I've already given you $7 million in debt. And you're like, what the crap? Terrence Steele hasn't been here in 2 years. Why am I still paying that? That's what you just did with Zach Martin. You just moved Zach Martin off the books.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't played for you in a minute.
And you also have to hire their replacement and move on there. And I don't know if that's enough to say, all right, we got $3 million here. Now let's go spend $9 million. We're only spending really $6 million. On the next guy that's going to replace him. So the Cowboys look at the player in one of two different ways, Kevin. It's the cheapest option. We're able to restructure and get some money back in this situation. but we're keeping the player at a reasonable price to us because we like the player.
Sure.
Or we like the player enough, we're just not willing to pay him that much more money anymore. But we're not going to go find anybody else as good or better on the market for the price that we're going to pay them right now. And so that's where the Cowboys are kind of sitting with that. Kevin, when it comes to the fourth round trades,
yes.
This is from our friend Kyle Yeomans, otherwise known as...
Could you say it one more time?
Kyle Yeomans. Cowboys fourth round trade since the year 2000.
They love to get rid of these fourth round picks.
O.J. Santiago in 2001 for a fourth round, or 2001 fourth round pick in the year 2000. Adam Pac-Man Jones in 2008 fourth round pick in 2008. Trey Lance.
Oh.
Jonathan Mingo.
Oh, dear.
And Rashawn Gary. All right, Kevin, I would like to say that I don't feel that any of those... Maybe Pac-Man turned out all right for a minute, but any of those turned out fantastic.
About to make a bold proclamation.
This will be the best fourth-round trade since the year 2000 that the Cowboys have made?
Even bolder.
Oh, my.
Actually, it's not really bold at all. That Rashawn Gary will have more of an impact than Trey Lance and Jonathan Mingo combined in their first year.
I think you should go ahead and add O.J. Santiago in that mix, too.
I have to admit, I do not remember that player
for him.
Whatsoever.
I had high hopes for O.J. Santiago.
I don't remember him.
Why not?
You tell me. What did he do?
Played.
See, you now you have to look it up.
He was a tight end, I believe.
None of us know.
He's 51 now.
Okay, well, yeah, that makes sense.
He was a tight end from Atlanta. He came here. Guess how many games he started?
Two.
Zero.
Oh, man.
But he was available for all those games. Guess how many catches he had?
Four.
Kevin, you could just say zero for everything.
Zero.
He was essentially a fourth-round draft pick,
later
Jonathan
in a
Mingo.
Game, made some key catches.
So this year, it will be the year that O.J. Santiago puts it all together.
That feels unlikely. From the 817, man, a seventh for Minka Fitzpatrick. I wish we would have done that. But Corey, I thought you brought up a good point always. But also in the crosstalk is you have to look at the rest of it, right? Because what did they also do? They gave him a 3-year, $40 million extension, which theoretically 13.3333 infinity. But you could probably have that cap hit at about $7 million. And so could the Cowboys have dealt off a seventh and had Minka Fitzpatrick as your safety on the books for $7 million? Theoretically, yes. But maybe if you would have gotten a competition with that team, they would have been like, well, I'll give you a sixth. Well, I'll give you a conditional fifth. And like all of a sudden, you're like, oh, what the hell just happened?
All right, so let's kind of go through this because Jalen Thompson's the guy that we have kind of pinned right there. He's 27. July 18th, he'll be 28.
Okay.
Minka's 28 or 29 right now.
I swore he was older than that.
He'll be 29. No, he'll be 29 in November.
Okay.
All right. The play, let's say you sign Minka for the 3-year.
Yep.
And that's
40.
40?
Yep.
Now, Jalen Thompson, 4 years? Do you think it's going to take more than that or 3 years at a...
I would have thought three, but yeah, maybe now four. What do you think? Four for 50?
Okay. Now, give me that annual average there.
So that's 12 and a half. But
which is still, yeah, in that range.
Yeah.
But I think Jalen Thompson fits this team. And Minka Fitzpatrick, for whatever reason, hasn't fit the Steelers or the Dolphins to stick around. Or maybe he's just kind of in that perfect spot with his contract where he's a very tradable commodity. But I wouldn't have minded giving up the seventh. I didn't want to pay him
until
he was 32.
100%. I get that. From the 806, putting in the call, boys, Jalen Thompson and N'Kobe Dean will agree to be Cowboys today, but not actually be Cowboys until Wednesday. I think N'Kobe Dean, it feels like everyone in the world has projected that move. I don't know if the Cowboys have that same level of excitement. Jalen Thompson,
because it makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Dean makes sense because he's played in the defense.
He's got a big name. He's been injured.
Yeah, and it's a spot that the Cowboys need.
Yes, yes. I think Jalen Thompson is a reasonable pick for today. And my dream remains Devin Lloyd. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but my dream signing of the day, Devin Lloyd, I know for a lot of people will probably be Trey Hendrickson, but my more reasonable or realistic signing today, I think, is Jalen Thompson.
Okay.
Does that sound feasible?
It does. It absolutely sounds feasible. This team needs safety. They need a star also, and I say star, a nickel star position. So they don't need just one safety. They need a few.
Right.
And they need a corner. And they still have a lot of places that they need to fulfill. Now, can they get some of those in the draft? Yes. But right now, you can't wait for that because you don't want to let talent pass you by.
Yeah.
And then say, right, we'll fix it all with our two first-round picks, because that's not going to happen. But then you fill this with good talent and add more talent in the draft, you got yourself a team.
Do you think it's okay for us to agree to disagree, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. Because if you didn't agree to that, I'd be in trouble from the jump. That, I think, is one of the reasons why I'm okay if another team wants to swoop in and sign Brandon Aubrey. I understand his value, both draft pick-wise and monetarily. I think I'm okay with it just because now you have another second added to your draft pool to hopefully make something happen. I understand if there are people out there who think that's stupid and they hate it. I don't mind it. Like if the Packers, somebody's rooting for the Packers to come in. If the Packers want to come in at 8 and the Cowboys don't want to match it, I'm okay with that.
The one thing I will say I didn't consider long enough, and that is to get a 2 for a kicker is almost maximizing the value. Obviously, you want a 1 for a kicker to maximize.
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Is it completely?
Yes.
Or 2 1s, or maybe even 3.
You're picking situation.
Yeah, exactly. But to get a 2, I didn't consider that. I wasn't caring about the pick as much, but the upside downness on the value,
yeah,
really does take into, like, okay, I would consider that a little bit more. But for $5 million, considering, and maybe that's the smart thing that they did, $10 million for Aubrey. What? $5 million for Aubrey. Oh, well, that's reasonable.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's where I'm stuck in this place right now. So I want this team to have its thing and get in order and go forward with it. And I think they would prefer to do that with Aubrey. They just don't want to negotiate an outrageous, hey, we're going to pay you the top of the market deal with him.
And Alec, I believe you tweeted something to this effect on Friday. I didn't see it till we were off the plane. I'm going to allow you to handle this question from the 940. Do you think the Cowboys could trade Osa in the 12th pick for a higher, maybe a top 5 pick? I will cede the floor to Mr. Medford to give you his thoughts about that.
One, addition by subtraction just doesn't make sense to me. I think you're subtracting a good player just to try to get another good player. That doesn't make too much sense. But two, he's going to leave behind dead money, too. A lot of it. You're making moves to open up money. That would be counterintuitive to everything that you're at least projecting that you're trying to do ahead of free agency. So it just doesn't make any sense. That's why when last week you hear, oh, that's getting thrown in for Max Crosby, I'm like, that just doesn't make much mathematical sense to me.
Agreed.
By the way, Minka is going to be 30. He'll be 33 at the end of that contract. That's where I was sitting on that.
I gotcha.
And
I gotcha.
Somebody said talent doesn't always equate to success. It's how you use it. Don't care about big names. Just want to see how weeks 1 through 6 work out in the season. We got to get there first, guys. You got to field a team in order to get to 2 weeks 1 through 6. We'll get there at some point.
And don't you think Jalen Thompson fits that idea, though? I don't think Jalen Thompson, like, in the regular sports world, is this ginormous name.
Sounds like you want to keep talking about that. So, Kevin, do you want the Cowboys to be even more aggressive since they held such great restraint on the Max Crosby deal? Next on The Fan.
Herbert's out there in trouble, and he sacks. And it's Max Crosby with his 7th sack of the year, a loss of 6 on the play.
Cowboys showed a great deal of restraint over the weekend by not signing and not trading for Max Crosby. I thought it was a great deal of restraint because traditionally that would have been a place where Jerry Jones is like, we'll have all the headlines over the weekend. It's going to be the biggest splash. Everybody's going to want to know about this. We'll be telling this story for weeks. The Cowboys said that doesn't fit our plan. We have a specific plan of what we want. Whether or not they make a big splash today, completely different conversation. Because what would wow you the most? Devin Lloyd.
Yeah.
That would make me go, they're damn serious about this thing right now. If they went and got a Devin Lloyd. Otherwise, though, I think this team is going to be saying, we're going to add this piece, add this piece, add this piece. And right now, Kevin, you look and you say, Quinnen Williams, damn fine move. Kenny Clark in the middle of that defense. Osa, easy. And then Rashawn Gary across your front five. I'm feeling pretty good there. I also have this note from Nick Harris, Kevin. Filed under things that maybe only I care about. Rashawn Gary's the second former number one overall high school recruit to play for the Cowboys. Oh. He was top ranked recruit in 2016. Jadeveon Clowney was the 2011 number one recruit. And Rashawn Gary, 28 years old. Clowney, 33 years old. I feel like at this point, you got a younger version of that, and you're going to go and run with that at the moment.
And if you walked away from today with Jalen Thompson, I'm best case scenario, Jalen Thompson, Devin Lloyd, and N'Kobe Dean, I feel like all three of those players combined have a lower name value than Max Crosby, but I feel like we'd all walk away being like, whoa.
No, absolutely. Yeah, okay. No, like that. Yes, they played the game very smartly. With Max Crosby, you lose picks. So you just pointed out, Kevin, I don't know that the Cowboys are going to walk away with Rashawn Gary,
for sure,
Devin Lloyd, N'Kobe Dean, and Jalen Thompson. But you're right. If they did that, now maybe let's take Devin Lloyd out. All right? So you only have these three. All right? So you got Rashawn Gary.
Would that be
Gary,
a bit of a shocker?
It would definitely be a bit of a shocker. Rashawn Gary, Jalen Thompson, N'Kobe Dean. If you got those three, you're still feeling pretty good about yourself.
Yeah.
And now you can go into this draft and pick your cornerback and say, we're good there. Now you can use number 20 for whatever the hell you want. You want to trade that down and make some other moves in the first round and still pick up a second or third or whatever round pick you'd like to do. You absolutely can do other things with that. But at the moment, if you were to be able to walk away with those three free agents, obviously I'm still a little concerned with Dean's health. I'm going to be every single day until he proves otherwise.
That's why he's available, right?
Exactly. Now, Devin Lloyd being available, a little bit of a different story. Maybe he's not available. Maybe it's just that he's going to work that deal with the Jaguars, and that's just Kevin and Mines and Alex pipe dream at the moment. But the simple fact is, you make the Max Crosby deal over the weekend, you put yourself in a significant hole in trying to fill out the rest of your defense.
I'm with you, man. And Schefter and everybody else was like, look, Cowboys were willing to go a first this year and then a second next year.
Which is still a lot.
It is. Also kind of makes me wonder if they would not have then made the Rashawn Gary move, because now all of a sudden you're out your second and fourth next year. I don't know that to be the case, but I'm just guessing.
That fill the Gary void there?
I mean, if they're going to, yeah, I guess.
It replaces Clowney, which Gary is now essentially replacing Clowney. But listening to other people in the know right now, they don't think the Cowboys are done pursuing a person for the outside still.
I hope not.
Gary is a guy that they're like, okay, good. Just like Chris Young when it comes to pitching, add more defensive linemen, more edge rushers, give me more of those guys. I'm going to stack them all up, rotate them out, and we're going to go hit some people.
So since Max Crosby came into the NFL in 2019, he's fifth in sacks, fourth in batted passes, third in total tackles, second in quarterback hits, second in quarterback pressures, first in solo tackles, and first in tackles for loss. All of that in mind, I'm good with the Cowboys saying, nah, This is our line in the sand.
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's PRENUVO.com.
Like, we'll do a first and next year second, but we can't go any further. But I wanted to know, and you and I are on the same page, Alec, the people listening at home, would you have gone for that? Like, knowing that Baltimore ended up making the move 14 and the next year's one, would you have pulled the trigger and said a 12th and pick 20 or a 12th and next year's first round pick? Although I guess we had discussions about that and the nature of that pick being frozen. So would you have done the deal? Because I'm good standing pat, and I'm curious if Cowboys fans are also good with that.
I was never a fan of giving up two ones for really any player that could have been available at this point, just because I know how much help you do need on this roster. So I'd rather have the assets. I know Crosby is an incredible player, and especially under a defensive-minded head coach, he's probably going to continue to do incredible things. And Baltimore fans for years are going to say that the trade was worth it, and it probably will be. It was just too rich for my blood knowing this team's situation. And I just love that they did show the restraint. That's the perfect word for it, where they were like, hey, we have an offer on the table. We know what this player is worth in our mind. We are more than okay with walking away from this situation. That makes me happier than actually getting the player.
Are you prepared? Because you know it's going to happen all year. Oh, Cowboys didn't have any sacks in that game. Can't help but wonder how Max Crosby would have done. Like, because we got that all year with Micah.
Yeah.
Are you prepared that that's going to happen all year?
I'll worry about that later.
Okay.
Right now, like, just like, hey, I'm worried about weeks 1 through 6. I'm not right now.
Okay.
So, yes, I'll be prepared to hear it. Hopefully they can get more pressure with the group that they have, because they have a pretty stout defensive tackle group that they look like they're going to line up out there and say, go get them. The value of it just didn't work for the us. This is the guy that you add. This is the Packers and Micah.
If you're right there,
you have
you
everything
think you're
built.
Right there,
you're ready to go, and you say, "What else do we need? A war daddy? All right, go get him then."
Yeah,
that's the thing. And I think what people are going to like not be, because you can't prove it; it's not a number with Rashawn Gary's deal. You're going to be like, "Man, our run stopping is pretty good."
Right?
He's underrated at that. And then, but he only has 2 sacks on the whole year, and you're like, "Okay, well, he must be awful." For this defense, we needed a guy like that. We needed somebody that could do something like that so that we could add a whatever other pass rusher so they could go do that. Travis Kelce is expected to return to the Kansas City Chiefs for his 14th season at 36 years old.
About that?
It was according to Ian Rappaport.
Okay, because I'd heard he was expected to return, but that he might try free agency?
I just saw
which it. I was like, ew.
Rappaport
gross.
Reporting this at 10:27. He said he would command top dollar, but he'd rather stay with Kansas City.
In what universe would he command top dollar?
I don't know, dude. That's what Rappaport said.
Okay.
I was just saying what he said.
Okay. I think he needs to be better. By the way, did you know that this was the first time in the Ravens?
We also have Tua news.
Okay. Did he get picked up? Well,
according to Adam Schefter, the Falcons are expected to pursue him.
Okay.
So that's where we are right
all
now.
All right.
The Falcons are like, hey, we need a Penix backup right now.
In your face, Michael Penix. Do you think it's a bat? They'll have like a real competition, right? Or they'll tell everybody they're having a real competition?
Yes.
All right. This is the first time in the Ravens' 31-year history that they've used a first-round pick to trade for a veteran player. So the Baltimore Ravens are the opposite of the Rams. The Rams are like, that's fine, we'll figure it out. And then the Ravens, they never do this.
Yeah, traditionally with the Ravens, scheme has been king for them, and scheme has allowed their players to play free and fast. And what they did so well was they always had somebody land in their lap in the draft that you were like, of course that dude's going to be a Raven. You know, it's just every year it just seemed like when they drafted, you'd be like, everybody would like a player like that. And how did the Ravens get him? And they're just sitting there like, okay, I guess we'll take this guy. And so they drafted smartly. And then they also were very frugal when they made other moves. Very frugal, but then said this player, if it was a specific player that fit well for them, they were like, we absolutely need that player. And usually got the max out of those guys. Now, obviously, getting this max is a bit different. Will you get the best version of Max Crosby? I don't think so. I think you're going to get a very good version of him.
Oh.
But I don't know that. I think you may look back at his career and go, his best years were behind him. And but he's like, to go to that place though, where that culture and that mindset is, we play hard all the time. He didn't like being in Las Vegas, where they said, hey, we're going to go ahead and tank this last game. Why don't you sit out? He didn't want that. He wants to be on the field fighting all the time.
Now, somebody asked this question, and I think it is relevant, from the 682. Rashawn Gary averages about 8 sacks a year. Why does everyone keep acting like he's only going to get 2 to 4? So I think the issue on that front is he had 7.5 sacks last year, but he had 0 in the final 9 games of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the concern.
What happened there?
Yeah, that's the concern, is that he fell off a cliff. And that's one of the reasons that they were okay with moving off of him. And I mean, I don't think anyone is viewing Rashawn Gary as like a game changer or anything for the Cowboys. They need a lot of help. This is one avenue they're pursuing to try to get some help. But I think for the people concerned about the 2 to 4, that's where that comes from, right?
Yeah.
They saw the second half of the season. They're like,
Yeah. And so you got to start asking, and obviously Christian Parker, and he knows the guy for 2 years,
right,
where he worked with him, competed against him over this time as well. So he knows the player. And I think that when you look at what he did for the team and then what the Packers' future looked like, the Packers' future was not him anymore. The Packers' future, they drafted, they were like, playing time is going to be limited for you. I wonder how much that affected mentally, him mentally. And obviously you want people that will be like, I don't care, I'm going to go out there and show out every time. But he kind of had that, well, they traded for Micah, I thought I was going to be part of this thing even more, and now I'm starting to lose some playing time, and I'm really good at these things. I think he can go out there and give you quality work. Your defensive line is better than it was to start last year, no matter what right now. And that's a big factor for you. Coming up next on the KNC Masterpiece.
Oh,
it is time.
Are you looking at a hamburger commercial?
No, I can't see the clock over here. Coming up next here on the KNC Masterpiece, Baseball Nuggets. The World Baseball Classic is here, and you love it so much. Mm. Next on The Fan.
One of the great power hitters of this generation. Judge swings, launches it deep left field, heading towards the wall. It is gone. Aaron Judge, the captain, sets the tone in Houston. It's 2-0, United States.
Rocking along here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Corey Majors alongside Kevin Hagelin. Alec Medford with you as well. And we have you too, the Tolo out there. And ladies and gentlemen, we'll keep you up to date on everything that's going on, because in about less than 20 minutes, we will have the official legal tampering period. Right now, we are still in the illegal tampering period.
If this is how busy illegal has been, how busy do you think legal is going to be?
I don't. That's interesting. That's a really interesting question that I think we'll get to coming up soon.
But it's a think piece.
Right? Yes, exactly, Kevin, a think piece. But right now, it is time to discuss the World Baseball Classic, all of the things seemingly shaking out exactly the way that we predicted they would. Brazil 0-3. After we saw them, we were like, they will have many more 10-run rule things happen against them.
We didn't put it on tape. We 100% asked a Rangers player, hey.
Maybe two.
Do you think Brazil's going to lose all their World Baseball Classic games?
And they.
They were nice about
laughed
it.
Laughed and said, you know, they were pretty good when we played them. So,
when we run ruled them.
Nicaragua, currently 0-3. Czechia, currently 0-3. Colombia, currently 0-3, but it's okay, ladies and gentlemen, because Canada is also flopping after their loss in both men's and women's hockey.
You think that broke
the Olympics?
Them?
They were like, we don't know what to do. They're currently 1-1, and the U.S. of A. in what appears to be the power division, the power pool, with Mexico and Italy both being 2-0, and Great Britain stinking as well. U.S. of A. is doing their work right now.
Bigger choke job by Great Britain. The 1-0 lead they gave up against us, or the lead they had in the Revolutionary War?
We still talking about the Revolutionary War?
Yeah, it was revolutionary. All right, a couple things.
Nobody's even alive from that war. Like, what kind of difference can they make?
That's a good
now?
Point.
You know? Are they going to be game changers for us?
Ooh, if you don't learn from the past, you're doomed to repeat it.
Interesting.
All right, a couple of Rangers notes from inside the World Baseball Classic. Korea held on to its 3-2 lead in the bottom of the seventh over Chinese Taipei, thanks to former Texas Ranger Dane Dunning, who got them out of a multiple man on base jam. And then Blake Townsend, the left-handed pitcher for the Rangers, he had to face Shohei Ohtani twice in his appearance for Team Australia. Shohei Ohtani, 0-2.
Wow.
So,
let's
go.
Was it too big of a deal Friday night, Kevin, when Aaron Judge hit the double play off the 17-year-old? And everybody was, my Twitter only said, 17-year-old gets Aaron Judge to double it into a double. And I was like, oh, okay. Why is everybody tweeting this, though? Like, this, I get it. It happened. But it just seemed like it was made too big of a deal.
No, I hear what you're saying.
But I guess being 17 and living in that moment, like,
it's pretty amazing.
You can go ahead and hang your hat up and be like, I'm done with baseball now.
I mean, wouldn't you hope he thinks this is a springboard, not the apex?
Just launches him into the next place.
Look, man. We all know the people whose life
struck him out like on something nasty, you know. And Aaron Judge is like,
"Are you style pointing this for him?"
But the double play is good. He needed two outs.
All right. If you ever want to see somebody whose life really apexed at the age of 17, go to the nail salon on the weekend of homecoming or prom. Dang. Take a look at some of those parents.
Dang.
All right. So I'm going to give you. That was mean. That was unnecessarily mean.
You didn't say
I'm
their
sorry
name
about that. I mean, I don't have somebody specific in mind. All right, which call was better? We're going to start with cut number 6. And I want to set the scene for you. And listen very carefully to the verbiage that this announcer uses. There's two runners on. The Netherlands trails 3-1 in the bottom of the ninth with two outs.
And Albies, deep drive, right center field, down to their last breath. The Kingdom of the Netherlands takes the lead. And a walk-off home run for Ozzy Albies.
Ozzy Albies can do that, dude.
That's true, but I think the key was...
What?
In that 5 seconds that passed with no talking, somebody got in his ear and said, hey, Jack Nuts, that's the end of the game. So he said the Netherlands takes
the lead
in the bottom of the ninth, 4-3.
Forgetting what inning he was in and all. Just, he was so captivated by the whole moment, you know?
Yeah.
He still had some energy.
All right, I guess.
Here's what I don't know. Here's what I'm trying to figure out.
Let it breathe.
Was he trying to let it breathe? Or after he said they take the lead, somebody like cut his mic off and was like, hey, idiot!
Can I choose? I choose that one.
I think that was it, too.
All right. So let's compare. That's call A.
All right. That was bad.
Call B.
But not atrocious.
Okay. I agree with that. Puerto Rico against Panama. It's the bottom of the 10th. The score is 3-3. Take it away. Cut number 5.
Biggest stage in international baseball. And the 1-2 crushed left field line deep. Puerto Rico, increíble.
I thought that call was badass.
Oh, okay. I was looking for another clunker. I was like, oh, is this bad?
No, it was just badass. I thought it was really good.
Yeah, I like that one. And that
plus,
was good.
Do you give him bonus points that he knew the game was over?
Yes.
Probably, right.
And I'm also giving bonus points for the word, increíble.
I did like that.
That was an incredible word.
So tonight, yes, I agree.
I liked it.
Tonight.
That was an electric vibe, too.
It was.
Like, that's what you really want. Are we about, dude, tonight's going to be awesome.
United States against Mexico.
This is a good pairing.
Was it Ian Kinsler who said it's going to be a happening? Sorry if I'm getting that. There was multiple people who are like, it's going to be crazy tonight. I know we're in the midst of free agency. We'll get back to that.
You hate that it's in Houston, that they are the ones that get this incredible vibe. They get to have Paul Skeens right before their eyes. I do. I hate that it's Houston that gets this. Do the Rangers fans deserve it?
What's the makeup of the crowd?
That's a fascinating question because I bet it's more Mexico.
You think 60-40?
Probably so. Actually, I would probably say 70-30.
Whoa.
Mexico. Just think about the culture in Houston. And, man, it might be a Texas OU crowd.
The game is sold out for seats, but they have opened up standing room only for this game. So it does feel like it's going to be a happening, man.
Wow. Yeah. No, this is definitely... You want to see this pairing anyway.
For sure.
U.S. and Mexico pairing, no matter what sport it is.
It's a natural sporting rivalry.
Yes, it's perfect for this. And to know that Skeens is on the hill for you against Mexico, who's a very good team. Very good. So to know that Paul Skeens is up there for you, you're hoping his best outing. What, 3 innings, 4 innings?
I could see 4.
Yeah, you're hoping you get his best outing.
Corey, I have great American news.
Still the next one.
Tarek Skubal. He was only going to pitch one game. But then he did pitch, and he said, I didn't expect these type of emotions to run through my brain.
There it is.
Or my thoughts to differ. I was pretty committed to making a start and getting back to camp. But now, he said, he went back. He talked to the Tigers about starting another game because he talked about the pride he has for freaking America. And he wants to pitch again.
And was it Paul Skeens was like, I don't know if everybody understands this by now, but I love this country. These are a couple dudes that are really playing with that kind of emotion on them.
Yeah.
I love hearing that from Skubal. Because he was a guy who was kind of like, I'm a great pitcher. I could care less about this competition. But then he gets out there and he feels like it's ramped up to regular season.
Oh, yeah.
Playoff. End of baseball season, playing for something. Like, he feels like, no, this is, somebody said the other, this is what you play baseball when you're a kid.
Yeah.
It's like your Little League All-Star team.
I mean,
you get that feeling of just being like, yes, I'm playing for something fun.
Because I know we were kind of making fun of the call, but Ozzie Albies hits a 3-run walk-off home run for his country. Puerto Rico gets a walk-off home run for their country. And this is, Bryce Harper goes, this is why we have to have baseball in the 2028 Olympics, or excuse me, Major League Baseball players. And he was like, the World Baseball Classic is cool. Can you imagine if it was in the Olympics?
Just see how much more important the Olympic hockey game was because of the Four Nations.
Yes.
Four Nations made it that for us. Because we're casual, most of us are casual hockey fans. But Four Nations made us, you know what? Maybe they might fight again on the drop. Maybe they drop the puck and just start punching each other, Shorzy style. Like, that's the hope that you get out of something
that. Man, 100% I want to see somebody charge the mound.
You got to watch Shorzy. From the 4-6-9, I would predict 60-40 in favor of Mexican crowd because of the location.
Somebody said
they were at the game. 4-6-9 was at the Mexico game yesterday, saw 0 Brazil fans. Zero Brazil fans.
I mean, we
talked
about it at spring training. It was shocking how few there were.
I would
say
there's a big factor is the Mexico fan base there, too.
I agree.
But yeah, I hear you on that.
I don't know if you think it's been an advantage thus far, but did you see that Italy has an espresso machine in its dugout?
Genius.
Is that the fanciest thing you've ever heard?
In a dugout?
Yeah. An espresso machine. Do you get the little cups with that, right? You just get the little cups and you're like...
I don't know, DeGrom's kind of fancy, and he's in our dugout.
Okay.
You know?
I say an espresso machine's fancier than Jacob DeGrom.
Oh, wow. We're never getting DeGrom
I didn't
now.
Say better.
No,
I said
we're
fancier.
We're never going to get DeGrom. Thanks a lot.
I don't know, man. DeGrom, outside of the money, he feels like a salt of the earth kind of guy. I don't know.
You might be right about
maybe
that.
Maybe he loves the espresso machine.
Maybe
I have no idea.
Coming up next here on the KNC Masterpiece, more NFL free agency. It is here
right now.
We have finally made it to legal tampering. Let's go tamper it up next on The Fan.